There's trouble. There are problems. There's tragedy, people are suffering, there's famine, and people are dying of starvation. And that is the backdrop for the book of Joel. It's not written during a great time. It's written during a time of poverty and starvation. There's an agricultural crisis going on. And what did Joel have to say about tragedy and suffering and famine? God is mad. God is the one who's behind all of this punishment. Joel took to the streets and started telling people, "You brought this on." And I said, "Really?" That's what I said when I was looking at it this week. I hate this stuff. When modern day Pharisees, let's just call them jerks. And yes, I can think of many other colorful things to call people, more strong describing words. But when they start spouting about how God is angry and it's why there's a tsunami or why there's a hurricane or some other disaster, my skin crawls and my stomach twists and I start feeling real seething anger directed at those who blame God for the disasters. When I search for why I'm so angry, I wonder, is it because they're blaming God for the disasters, or is it because when you blame God for a disaster, then you can make up the reasons why God is angry? See, I think what makes me angry is less about the blaming God for the catastrophe and more about why the folks, who I must remind myself are God's precious children, we all are, why they place the blame. The people are being naughty. The people are not following the rules that the Pharisees and others think are the rules. And then I get kind of, you think highly of yourself and think everyone else doesn't know anything. It's sort of arrogant, but snarky, I guess, is a better word. I get snarky and I think, yes, God is angry because the people dare to treat others of humans instead of abominations. And I seethe with anger over why people say stuff like that. You know, I don't see the Pharisee-like attitude in this reading from Joel. It's kind of there, but the blame, regardless, the blame of all these bad things are happening, so God must be angry, God did this to us, really bothers me. And I guess I just have to sit there with it and say, this bothers me. Anytime I see it in the Bible, anytime I see it anywhere where people blame God for the ills of the world, it bothers me. Because I think that when there are ills in the world, when there are terrible tragedies, that God is at the heart of those tragedies, not causing them, but enabling us to reach out to our brothers and sisters in need. People have put it as God weeps for those who weep. God's heart is broken when our hearts are broken. So the blame thing really bothers me, but I don't think that it's the ultimate point of the reading. I think the ultimate point of the reading comes in that last part there. "Come back to me," says God. "I'm not worried about how dressed up you are. I want you to be serious about following me with everything that you are. I love you. I am kind and gentle. I forgive. And I just want you to start loving me and loving everyone. Even if everyone else is a jerk," right? So right now you're thinking about your neighbor, right? Your neighbor who's a jerk. Yeah? Look, it made you laugh. Go ahead. Let's get through it. Think about all the people in your life, or people that you know of that you may not know, but all the people who you would describe as a jerk, or some other word that I won't say here, but it's probably in your mind now anyway, so you can think of, who is it? Just, you don't have to, please don't say the names, but I'm sure there are people.
Jerks.
And while they're fresh in your mind, got them right there. Now think of the people in your life or people that you know of who you would describe of as the complete opposite of a jerk. Put them in your mind. Still got the jerks in your mind. Now the complete opposite in your mind. And please know that there are people on both of your lists who are on the other lists of your neighbor. Your neighbor here, your neighbor at home, your neighbor, the humanity neighborhood. And everyone here has a good chance of being on someone's jerk list. And also on someone's completely not a jerk lists. So let's do our best to remember that anyone on any of our lists are God's children. Those ones that you're still seething about and thinking about and saying, they're God's children. No matter how awful, no matter how angry you are at them, no matter how awful a thing that they've done, and those people that are so awesome, they're God's children too. And God's children make mistakes. To be sure, we make mistakes. We do awful things. We hurt others. And we also get it right sometimes. And we do good things. And we lift one another up. Got both sides of that. And sometimes we don't even make mistakes, but when we hurt others, we meant to do it. And we're still God's children. No matter what we've done, no matter how good or bad the things have been that we have done, how we have lived, God's call to us is the same as it was to the people described in Joel. It's the same to everyone. And I don't want to put every person from every religion into this, you have to follow my rules to do it, but God's call on humanity is the same. Return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and in mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. There's a humbleness and a kindness and a gentleness that transcends the rule books or anything like that. God simply says, come back to me. Be decent to one another. So tonight, Ash Wednesday evening, it's the beginning of this journey of returning to God with all our hearts. It's the beginning of a journey of returning to God with all that we are. It's the beginning of a Lenten journey. 40 days minus the Sundays until Easter. And we're getting ready to celebrate by realizing that it is so easy to pay attention to who are the jerks and the not jerks in our lives instead of paying attention to the call to return to God with all that we are. This Lenten journey is a journey from self-centeredness to God-centeredness. It's a journey towards love for God. It's a journey towards love for our neighbor. A journey towards love for all of God's children. So blessings to you all. May we journey together in God's call to return. Amen.